We cover interval training, which might be the fastest way of all to get your cardiovascular in shape. And cracks are starting to appear in the I'm fat, but I'm fit theory. All today on episode 29 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fat to Fit Radio. It's number 29. So every week we go to right to my weigh-in, but this week, Jeff, I want to update everyone on your New Year's resolutions. And the two that I remember here are you were going to eat 500 apples before the end of the year. Second one, you were going to give up Diet Coke. So how is that going?
Well, for the apples, it's been 4 months since the New Year. I have pretty much eaten an apple every single day. And I was recording it for about the first three and a half months. Every day I was putting a little dot on my calendar to mark when I ate an apple. And I was right on track. And I don't have to record it anymore because it's every single day I bring an apple for lunch. So that's something that has becoming a habit and it's getting easier and easier. Now that Coke, I'm not perfect. We all have our own little struggles. And at least I have cut back a huge amount compared to what I used to drink on it. But anyways, let's get back on you and off of me. How's your weight loss this week?
Well, this week, you challenged me, remember, a couple weeks ago to really lose some weight. And I did that this week. 2.4 pounds this week, down to 270.1.
That is awesome because that's, you know, a month and a half of weight loss for you. The last little while, that's about 2.4 pounds. You've really finally pulled it together and you're starting some good numbers coming out of this. So what did you change?
I mentioned last week that I was cutting out all the extras and I was putting in things like coffee and tea. And also, I'm just really cutting out a lot of white breads, no white bread at all. I'm really concentrating. If I'm going to have some kind of bread, I'm going to get some real whole wheat. But really, probably the biggest thing that's made a difference, I've really just cinched down on the calories and I'm watching everything I'm eating and logging everything. I'm doing that, the dailyplate.com. I'm putting that information in there and looking at my calories and really saying, okay, I've got 600 calories here left for the end of the day. What can I eat? And not going over that and saying, well, I'll just blow it and eat more. Doing what I should be doing. It's the hard thing. It's not easy, but it's getting easier. You know, it's been a couple of weeks and I've really cinched down and been really diligent in counting those calories, and it's made a big difference.
And that's awesome because once you start losing weight, it does get easier because you have that momentum and you want to keep up the momentum, and it's just gonna keep getting better and better, right?
Mentally, it's motivation, and you know, I think there's also some kind of physical thing. Your body gets into a mode of losing weight. It says, okay, we're losing weight now. We're eating lots of food, but we're eating less, so we're just going to shed some pounds now. So I think it does get easier as you get going. But anyway, what else besides apple eating and working out have you been doing this week, Jeff?
Well, 2 weeks ago, I admitted that my weight had crept up 6 pounds heavier than my maintenance weight. And for me, I realize I'm pretty much going to be on some sort of diet the rest of my life, whether it's losing the 1 or 2 pounds that I've gained, or I'm just trying to maintain my weight. I put on weight really easy, and that's just what I have to live with. But when I realized I was 6 pounds up and Russ hadn't been losing much weight, I issued him a challenge 2 weeks ago. So what I've really been doing the last 2 weeks is working out and working out hard. I refuse to starve myself when I'm on a diet, so I lower my calories, maybe 500 or 600, what I've been doing last week, and I've been hitting the gym doing lots of cardio. So I've lost 4.6 pounds in 2 weeks, which is about the same as what Russ has lost. So we're about neck and neck on this, but I tell you, I've worked really hard to lose 4.6 pounds in 2 weeks, almost inhuman efforts. On the weekends, I've actually done double workouts where I go in the morning for about an hour, come back at night for about an hour because I just want to get this weight down. And reality is I want to beat Russ on this. But I've got 1.4 pounds to go to get to my maintenance. So it's going to take me about 3 weeks to lose 6 pounds. But I tell you, I really am back in with the people who are losing weight for months and months at a time. This is a really hard thing to do, and it takes a lot of dedication. I'm just glad that I'm close to my maintenance weight, so if I do kind of gain a couple pounds, I go hard for a couple weeks, and I'm back to where I am, and then that kind of kicks me back into gear not to let the weight creep back on. So that's what I've been up to, is just working my butt off to keep ahead of Russ. But Russ, what have you been up to this week?
Well, just kind of life. Went to Disneyland on Friday, and I took the kids out of school for a day. And it's real nice because a friend of ours works at Disneyland, signed us in, 3 free passes. Thank you very much. Also on Saturday, went to a 50th anniversary party for a retired coworker. So that was a good time. So actually that 2.4 pounds included a beautiful buffet at the party, an open bar, and some anniversary cake. So I've been feeling better about that 2.4 pounds than I was just a couple minutes ago. So, but that's about it for me.
Would it have been 3.4 pounds or did you manage to control yourself at a buffet?
Oh, you know, one plate. And instead of taking a giant scoop of mashed potatoes, I just tasted a little couple things that I would normally have loaded my plate with in the past, and put a bunch of salad and some great meats. There were like 4 different meat entrees there. It was beautiful. I enjoyed the food, but I didn't gorge myself. And also, I was dancing out there too, so worked off a couple calories that way.
All right, let's move on to our emails and comments. The first email comes from Teacher Gal from the Tranio Forum.
Yes, and Teacher Gal wrote, "Is a calorie from junk the same as a calorie from healthy food? Is it all a numbers game of calories in versus calories out, or do the type of calories, fat, protein, and carb count too?"
This question, the answer is kind of yes and no, because technically a calorie is a calorie. If you look at the scientific term of a calorie, all it means is an amount of energy. And technically, it's the amount of heat energy needed to raise 1 gram of water 1 degree Celsius. So no matter where that calorie comes from, when it's broken down into its smallest form and it's in your bloodstream as glucose, it has the exact same energy potential. In reality, though, a calorie isn't a calorie because if you eat certain types of foods like the junk food, the sugar goes through you really quick and you're hungry right away after. If you're eating things that take longer to digest, you're feeling fuller longer and you might not want to eat quite as much. The ultimate goal is to eat the most amount of great tasting food with the least number of calories, never be hungry, and lose weight or be able to maintain at your goal weight. That's kind of the goal. There are differences in calories. The term that we've all heard are empty calories. An empty calorie is a calorie that might come from a chocolate bar or some sort of candy. It has no nutritional value. It has no vitamins. It has no fiber. It has no minerals. It's literally just sugar that goes into your bloodstream and most likely becomes fat. For talking about carbohydrates, the simple carbohydrates are bad. That's the candy kind of stuff. Those carbohydrates go right into your bloodstream. It spikes with sugar and glucose in your bloodstream. It's flooded with the insulin response to try and get all of that sugar out of your blood. And guess what? 20 minutes later, you're hungry again. All carbohydrates are not bad, though, because if you're eating the complex carbohydrates like oatmeal or rice or potatoes, that goes into your bloodstream slowly. It takes your body longer and longer to digest it, and you don't feel as hungry later on. So it's not the same eating a 200-calorie chocolate bar and 200 calories worth of oatmeal. It's not the same at all because you'll be hungry sooner. So it is very important to keep track of what type of calories you're eating, not just calories. One other thing, a number of shows ago, we talked about negative calorie foods. Now, these are the foods that your body takes a lot of effort to digest. They're the types of food that have a lot of cellulose in them. So things like celery and apples, you can't digest all of the calories. So in reality, after your body is through trying to digest all of this stuff, you may not get many calories out of the food in the first place if you ate it. I will leave a link in the show notes so you can go back and see what these negative calorie foods are that I'm talking about. But one last thing here, there's also protein. Protein is also kind of hard for your body to digest. If you eat 150-calorie chicken breast, you may only get 125 calories out of it for your body after your body does the digestion. So rule of thumb, the healthier you eat, the calories go a little bit longer and you feel fuller longer. But good luck in the future. A calorie is a calorie, but when it comes down to it, food really isn't the same as all other food. We all know this intuitively.
All right, our second comment here was an email from Sophia to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
And she writes, "Hi, first I just want to say that I love your show. It's been hard for me to find a support group to help with my weight loss goals, but listening to your show has been so encouraging. I was looking for information on my own because I really wanted to lose weight the healthy way. I was just bombarded with so many contradictions, it was hard to know what was right and what was wrong. I started listening on episode 20, then went back and downloaded all the episodes. I'm on show number 10 now. I am just amazed how many show topics really hit home for me. You covered information I really needed and wanted to know. I was at a point where I didn't really know if it was possible to lose weight without taking some sort of diet pill, and I really did not want to take one. But your show has showed me that people can lose weight naturally with the right information. My question is about tea, green tea in particular. A woman at my gym recommended that I start drinking tea, plain tea with no sugar, with every meal. She credits drinking more tea to being able to lose the last 10 pounds. What really got me thinking about her advice was when she said, "People from Asian descent drink a lot of tea and you hardly ever see any of them overweight." That reminded me of what you always say, eat like a thin person eats. I've heard before about the benefits of green tea, and I was just curious if there were any actual truth to this. Also, I normally use a sugar substitute instead of sugar, but I would like to use honey instead of the plain, as my friend recommends. I've heard that honey isn't good when you're losing weight. Is that true?
All right, so there's two questions there. One is honey. Now, honey is a sugar, and it's about 60 calories per tablespoon of honey. So, you know, if that's going to be your sweetener for your drink, you know, go ahead. That's, those calories are one that you want to consume. But secondly, I think the more important here is this green tea. Now, we debunk so many things here, it seems like. We come up with, you know, should you detox? And we're like, no, you shouldn't detox. But I did some research on this, and just here in March 2008, there was a paper published at the, let me make sure I get the right reference here, the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. And it's a research paper from the University of Birmingham in the United Kingdom, and they looked at green tea, particularly green tea extract, and how it might increase fat oxidation in humans. And according to this study, the green tea consumption can, in fact, increase fat oxidation rates by as much as 17% when coupled with moderate exercise. So they took a group of individuals and they gave them green tea extract and had them work out. And they also checked those on a placebo. And the ones who took the green tea performed better. Their bodies worked better. And they had lower blood levels of glucose and lipids and cholesterol. It's just some amazing stuff here. Let me give a couple other items here that I found. Supposedly help reduce fat deposits under the skin and the abdomen. That was interesting. It has an active ingredient here, and I'm, excuse my pronunciation of this, but epigallocatechin gallate. It's a good one.
I'm sure that's the correct way.
I'm sure it is too. But it says it's as an antioxidant, it's 200 times more powerful than vitamin E, supposedly. Also here, research from a Japanese and other researchers suggests that if an average person were to drink 5 cups of green tea a day, they would burn an extra 70 to 80 calories through an effect known as thermogenesis, the process of heat production in organisms. And that's mostly due to the caffeine, but it's also supposedly amplified by this, and I'm going to give you letters, they call it EGCG, that unpronounceable word. I found another study from the University of California about the cancer preventative qualities of green tea, and they concluded that the desired level of polyphenols, which is the antioxidant portion also, by drinking 2 cups per day, you get the benefit instead of drinking, you know, 10 or 5 cups a day, where the Japanese and other researchers had suggested that. So, you know, I'm going to say, yeah, just from this research. I mean, this is a real new paper here, March 2008. And I will have a link in the show notes to the abstract. They have to pay for the article, but it gives all the information that really, the nuts and bolts of it, and, you know, what they did and what their conclusion was. And from the look of it, I mean, if you like green tea, I'm going to say that, yeah, it's going to, it will help you in your weight loss. What do you think, Jeff?
Well, I think based on those studies, it sounds really promising. I don't really think that just starting to drink green tea is going to be the panacea and solve everyone's weight problems, but I think it's a good thing to start putting into your diet if you like green tea. It's definitely not showing to be a total waste of time. It's not showing that it's a waste of money. So by all means, if you enjoy it, go for it.
Yeah, you know, I'm putting these little bits of information in my, I'm calling my weight loss arsenal. And so every time I find a piece like green tea, you know, I might incorporate green tea. I do enjoy green tea, and I've actually in the past had it, so I may in fact incorporate this, and maybe displace some coffee with it. But, you know, every little bit of information that you find, hopefully that we bring to you, put those in the back of your mind and or in the forefront of your mind. And when you're thinking about making that meal or getting that food, if those things come into play, and you can use those to help you lose weight. All right. We want to thank Teacher Gal and Sophia for contacting us and asking us those questions. Those were great questions. If you'd like to get a hold of us or ask a question, you can do so by a few ways. The first one is by leaving a comment over at fattofitradio.com.
And of course, you can just send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
The third way is to leave a voicemail. You can click on the button over at the website and leave us a free voicemail.
And of course, you can join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
All right, now we're going to take a look at this week's news with the Web Report.
My article this week comes from CNN.com in their health section, and it's entitled Study Questions Fit But Fat Theory. Now, this is talking about an 11-year study that followed 39,000 women, and it measured their BMIs, how much they're weighing, you know, in proportion to their height, and how much activity they were doing throughout these 11 years. And the predominant theory of the fit but fat was it's okay to be overweight as long as you have good cardiovascular fitness. And this study is kind of putting that on its head. Of course, it is better to always be fit, but being overweight kind of takes away a lot of that benefit. So the summary here, compared to people who are normal weight, if you are obese and do not exercise, you have a 250% chance over a normal weight person of having a heart attack or having cardiovascular problems. If you are obese and you exercise, you still have an 87% more chance of having a heart attack and cardiovascular problems than a normal weight person. So it does show if you do exercise, that lowers the risk quite a bit, but it's still 87% higher than the weight of a normal person. Now, the one thing that I was kind of surprised when I read through this article, they're saying that 2 in 5 U.S. women at age 50 and higher will have a heart attack in their life. So that's 40% of women. And when you look at that, 40% of women are going to have it anyways, and you're obese and you're not exercising, and then you've got 2.5 times the chance of having a heart attack, those odds are getting to like the 80% level. It's ridiculous. So it does make a huge difference in obesity and fitness. Fitness, of course, does help, but they're finding that you really need to have a combination of both. You need to get your weight under control and also be fit to reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease. So, Russ, what do you have for us this week?
All right. The article I have here is entitled Weight Loss Surgery Without Incisions. And a doctor in San Francisco has created this technique where he can go in through your esophagus into your stomach and do a gastric bypass surgery. The recovery is much shorter. It's typically an outpatient procedure, but there's a catch. It's only for those who've already had gastric bypass surgery and maybe their weight loss has slowed down or stopped. So maybe in the future here, he'll have this surgery available for those who are the super obese. If that's the only way that you can lose weight, you can get this done without getting an incision. So take a look at the article. It's over at fattofitradio.com.
I think it's interesting that people can have surgery that without incisions, but it is kind of sad that these are people who've had the gastric bypass surgery and then have continued to overeat and force their small, tiny stomach to stretch out again and again, so they need to do the surgery again. It's kind of sad in that way, but it is an interesting article to see that they can go in and redo some of that surgery without actually going through the skin again. Well, we might not agree at all with gastric bypass surgery, but it was interesting to hear about this medical advancement. All right, let's move on to our feature section. And this week, we are talking about interval training for cardiovascular endurance and fat loss.
Yeah, a little disclaimer here before we start. It's recommended that you consult your doctor before you follow any of our advice here or attempt to do any form of interval training. This is intense exercise that will definitely put a strain on your body during short bursts of maximum effort.
Now, the definition of interval training, it can really refer to any cardiovascular workout, so it could be stationary biking, running, rowing, almost anything that involves bouts of near maximum effort, interspersed with periods of low intensity activity. So this type of workout works your aerobic system and your anaerobic system. So that means when you're starting to work and you're breathing heavier, you're using all the oxygen, and then it gets so intense that your body is just relying on the stores of energy that it has because you can't breathe oxygen fast enough to start using it. So it is very intense.
So a suggestion, don't start right away into this sort of intense exercise. You should get to a base level of fitness first and then gradually introduce this type of workout. Some programs such as Body for Life have all people do this form from the start.
I think that all people can do this from the start, but you're really looking at your muscles not being able to keep up with what your body wants to do. You should really build up gradually, and then you can get into this. This type of activity does make huge improvements very fast, especially your cardiovascular system. You'll find that you're, you know, the typical quote, getting in shape. You get in shape very quick, but most of the time, your muscles cannot keep up with it. So you might find that you're not breathing as hard, but your legs are just giving out because they're not strong enough yet. So what myself and Russ did earlier, we have the Fat to Fit Radio Gymnasium here, and we did a interval training workout just to give people an idea of how this works. And the workout we're going to talk about, it's a 20-minute workout. And how we really start out is for the first minute, it's fairly easy. The second minute gets a little bit harder. The third minute, a little harder. The fourth minute, we're up to about 80%. Then we do 1 minute of 100% effort. Then we go back down to really easy effort again. We gradually build up. So every fifth minute, we're at a maximum intensity. And a good workout, you only have to do this maybe 4 or 5 times. So in 20 minutes, you could be done your workout and have a great workout. So we'll give a little bit more detail, and we will give some sound clips from our Fat to Fit Radio Gymnasium as myself and Russ are going through interval training.
All right, so this is a 20-minute workout we did at the Fat to Fit Radio Gym. And before we started, though, we warmed up, make sure we're good and warm before going into the interval training. Minute one was 50% effort.
So this was about moderate walking effort. My dear Russell, might you be a dear and pass me some sugar for my tea?
Why, yes, Jeffrey, my man, I would be pleased to. And here's a crumpet.
Are you planning to watch Oprah on the telly this afternoon?
Why, yes, I love Oprah. She is so inspirational. Minute two was about 60% effort.
And now it was similar to light jogging.
Oh dear, my good fellow, I've spilled a spot of my tea.
Would you like to dab it with a serviette? Napkin? Or even a towel?
I'll just use my tie.
That sounds good.
Minute three, we pumped it up to 70% effort.
Now it's just starting to get a little hard to hold a conversation while we're doing this. Oh man, I dropped my saucer.
Well, you can't set your cup down on the table without it.
What happened to your lace doily that usually covers the table?
I sent it out for dry cleaning. Minute four, we're huffing and puffing at 80% effort.
And it's getting hard to talk. We can only really do this in short gasps. Oh, crap. I dropped my crumpet.
Let me get it for you. Oops, I kicked it.
Well, get it.
I can't. Oh, man, I just spilled the rest of my tea.
I'll get it. Oops, I spilled my tea, too. Get those crumpets.
It's too late. Maybe we should give up on your tea. A minute five, we're at 90 to 100% effort.
Now, this is the ultimate level. And how you do this, you figure out what is something I could only maximum do for 30 or 40 seconds, and then make yourself do it for a full minute. go, 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 breathe, breathe, breathe. Don't you quit on me. Go, go, 20 seconds to go. Don't stop. Go, go, go. My crab is faster than you. Go, go, go. Now, after that, your muscles are going to ache. Your lungs are going to hurt. You can't seem to get enough oxygen, and you'll believe that you've just barely made it through it alive. But then you're back down to minute one again, and you're cooling down. You're catching your breath, and then you just realize you got to go through it three or four more times.
All right, some of the benefits of interval training. Number one, it's a short duration. You can get a workout in 20 minutes. It's an intense workout. Number two, you're going to burn a lot of calories compared to a long, slow workout, say, you know, just jogging only. Number three is the afterburn effect. Your metabolism is going to be pumped up here for a few hours after doing this kind of workout. Number four, it's the absolute fastest way to increase your cardiovascular endurance.
And interval training is really common in a lot of sports. I know, Russ, you mentioned earlier that you played football. Didn't you do some sort of intervals?
The prize at the end of practice was the first person that hits the line, that 40-yard line, gets to stop the wind sprints. So the fastest guys were always there. And so because I was the big lineman, I always was one of the last ones because I was big. I was slower. But you know what? I ended up doing a lot more of these workouts, and I was really sucking wind at the end. Boy, it was great. But I got better endurance, and I could go the whole game and not get winded. And it was a great workout.
Now, for the disadvantages, there's only really two that I can really think of. The first one is very important, though. If you are not properly warmed up, it's very easy to injure yourself. If you are truly going at 100% effort, everything is being strained, your lungs, your muscles, all of your systems. It's really easy to injure yourself if your body's not ready to do that effort. The second thing that I mentioned earlier is that your muscular endurance may not be able to keep up with your cardiovascular endurance. So because this really improves very quickly, your lungs and your breathing, it gets easier and easier for your cardiovascular system to keep up. But oftentimes, your muscles do not keep up with it. Your legs are too tired and too weak to keep up with your running, for example. But that's not the end of the world. It will eventually catch up.
All right, now we've got a few precautions for you for safe interval training. And the first one Jeff's already mentioned, it's warm up before you start intervals.
And another one, keep your training goals within your ability. Don't compare yourself to anyone else. 100% for you is not going to be the exact same amount for someone else.
Third one is build the number of repetitions you do over time. Don't start out and maybe doing four sets of intervals. Start out with two and work your way up.
And another thing, when you're starting out, bring your heart rate down to maybe 100 to 110 beats per minute during the rest interval. If you find that your heart rate isn't slowing down, well, maybe just take it a little bit easier or take a longer interval when you're resting before start building back up.
All right, when you're looking for improvement, you can increase your intensity or the duration, but don't do both at the same time. It's going to take quite a bit of strain on your body.
Now, once you've been training for a couple months, you can advance in your interval training. And there are four things that you can adjust to really fine-tune your workout. And that would be the intensity or speed, the duration of rest or recovery, and the number of repetitions of each interval. So you can play around with those things to make your workout a little bit harder. You don't just have to make it longer and longer. You can always play with those other things. So that's really interval training. It's not really that hard of a concept. You just do in groups of maybe 5 or 6 minutes. You start off easy. Every minute you get a little bit harder. In that last minute, you're going 100% effort. Go for a full minute, then cut it back down and start the interval over again. You'll be amazed at the results that you can get in a short time. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to do interval training every single workout. It's another one of these things that you can put in your arsenal of workouts. Do some regular long, slow distance workouts, do some moderate workouts on a stair climber, and then also throw in your interval training. On your other days, of course, we're doing weightlifting. But that is interval training in a nutshell. So Russ, what do you have for a recipe this week?
You know, at work, we were talking enchiladas. You know, you're sitting around at work, of course. In the engineering company, you talk about enchiladas. But it's true. And I got an email from a coworker, and he sent me a shrimp enchilada verde recipe. And I'm a sucker for any kind of Mexican food. This one in particular really looked good. It only had 334 calories, 37 carbs, 6 grams of fiber, 8 grams of fat, 27 grams of protein, and it looks really good. So check out. I'll have a link in the show notes where you can get this recipe for shrimp enchiladas verde.
Sounds good.
Yep. And so, Jeff, what kind of homework do we have for everybody this week?
We were talking about interval training, and the homework is simply for everyone to try some sort of interval training this week. You know, you can base it on something you find challenging based on your current fitness. It could be a combination of walking, jogging and running, cycling, stair climbing, or even just hiking. All that you have to do is simply try varying the intensity for 4 or 5 sets. If you're not used to doing intense activity, this will definitely be a challenge. But remember, this is only a challenge with yourself. It doesn't matter how fast you are doing something compared to other people. Just do it based on your perceived exertion.
All right, sounds good. And do we have a quote for everybody?
I've got a really good one here, and it's from Winston Churchill. And it is, "A pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity. An optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty."
All right. Well, thanks, Jeff. And everybody, I hope you liked our little peek under the skirt here at Fat to Fit Radio and the Fat to Fit Radio Gym. We had a good time doing that. So appreciate you listening and downloading the show. And we'll talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.